Every time I've had the privilege of dining at Sonic, driving up, taking a gander at the menu, the extensive menu. I actually associate, it's kind of funny, I associate like summer days with Sonic. Like I would hit the pool at like Greenbrook or Canterbury.
Okay.
All right. I didn't live there, but I'd hit the pool there.
Right.
And then I'd be like, yo, let's hit Sonic. Let's go to Sonic. Let's drive up to Sonic and get the popcorn chicken, get the grilled cheese, get that Route 44, that patented huge drink, that 44-ouncer, right, of that Diet Dr. Pepper that just hits. And now they got the groovy fries. Man, they got the groovy fries that they're adding to the menu at Sonic, Jason.
They're fantastic. I've had them now twice, John, myself. We've made more trips to Sonic now that they've got these groovy fries than we have in a long time. And they're worth the deal. Here's the deal. You can get a small, medium, or large for $1. So don't know why you would go small. Overload yourself. Try these fries. You'll find them perfectly salted, perfectly built to hold the groovy sauce that they are so good with. I typically do them with the crispy chicken sandwich. Hopefully your Sonic experience is not including trespassing, as John's once did. We want you to live free. We want you to eat Sonic.
Well, that's what I was doing. I was living free, to be clear.
A little too free. At the Greenbrook pool.
Now, I think, you know, listen, we have...
You shouldn't have been over there.
I'll get to that in just a minute. For the next 2 days, we have Pam filling in for Brad. Pam's great to have you. But there is something that I noticed Jason kind of made a face at. You kind of pulled the hook on us. You pulled the hook on us on the while we were doing the endorsement with the music. Kind of got a little quiet.
So I go a cappella.
Yeah, we got it. So we just got it. We just got to let that bed play. You know what I'm saying? Because Jason doesn't like to go. He can go a cappella, but he doesn't want to go a cappella. He needs that support.
Well, Pam's like, y'all should start the damn live a little earlier in the music, and it'd be still there. That's what Pam's saying.
No, that's right. No, Pam's been doing a great job.
That's
all
on us, Pam.
Producer Pam been on the ones and twos this week.
Yeah, Brad better be careful.
That's right. He's getting Wally Pipped here.
That's right.
He's getting Wally Pipped.
You keep shining, Pam.
That's right. Pam going to keep shining, no doubt about it. Now, as it relates to, you know, my summers with Canterbury and Greenbrook, you know, I felt like I had a right to be there.
I know you did.
I lived in the area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't.
But that was not a community pool.
It was not. It was reserved for the residents.
Not a city pool.
But I would definitely like. So it used to be. I think it was like Thousand Oaks. Maybe I'm making that up. It was Canterbury. That's how I knew those apartments. It's Canterbury Apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Canterbury's apartments because the pool there, because. You could like, there's like a divider, you know, the indoor, outdoor. They had a sauna, they had a hot tub. Like, it was nice. You know, it was cool to swim underneath the divider there, the glass divider. You know, Greenbrook was always a little more hit or miss. You know what I'm saying? You just didn't know what you were going to get with Greenbrook. Now, my dad used to live at Greenbrook Apartments. So we would get a pool card if we could find it, if we could find the pool card. But, you know, sometimes they go around check, you know, your pool card.
If you got your pool card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they did. It just depended on who was in the office that day, bro. But you'd drive the bike up, you know what I'm saying? Put that thing around, you know, and you would hit the pool. And then you just, that was the thrill of it, right? The thrill of it as a kid was, am I going to get kicked out of this pool?
Mm-hmm.
That was the thrill. Now, what ended up happening was some of those pools, like Greenbrook had multiple pools. Some ended up being policed by people like you who worked at Imperial.
Yeah.
You know, in the red trucks.
We were there to get you out, kind out.
And then, like, you couldn't just even walk up. Like, you were getting carted right then and right there. But that was later. That came later. There were still many, many years, many, many days as a teenager, young teenager, 13, 14, where, you know, I could hit the pool with no, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't worried about repercussions. You never had those summers?
We did it down in Harbortown one time. We trespassed and went into a pool down there.
You say it's such a negative connotation.
I mean, ultimately it is. You're not supposed to be there. Those are not for you. You know, you should have been at the city school pool.
Yeah.
The city pool.
But honestly, as long as you're not there causing big problems, what's the harm? That's what I ask.
Again, it's for the residents.
I'm a resident.
Yeah. That's what they're paying for.
I'm a resident of
Memphis. So if you're not paying for it, I mean, I would have a problem. I would be over there as the Imperial security guard enforcing.
That's right. So but,
and checking on your little Greenbrook card.
Did you get kicked out?
No, we managed to get through it. But when you said the thrill of
yes,
That was the whole thing about being down there. I was scared the whole time of going to get caught. I wasn't the guy that did that.
But that was the fun
part.
That's
why I remember we didn't do it a whole bunch.
So yeah.
I guess a set of nice apartments down there, whatever they are down at Harbor Town.
And you would always scope out like the people that were at the pool. You're like, are these folks going to be cool?
Yeah, no, we did ours at night. It was literally no one in it except us.
We would go when it was like hot.
You made that clear. Yeah, during the day and others are around. We didn't do that.
Yeah. But you know, sometimes you get kicked out, sometimes you didn't. I mean, you just kept coming back. That was the lesson. You just kept coming back. The University of Memphis has announced the next AD. There's no segue. I know you're
just waiting on it. Scott's coming back here. He's coming here the first time.
Ed's not a trespasser.
Alpert would have been coming back.
That's right.
Crane, in a way.
Yeah.
Doesn't work for Scott. So we didn't have the perfect segue there.
No, we didn't. And I apologize. We'll be better. He's not a trespasser. He's a permanent resident now.
Okay. I like what you did there.
We did attempt to get Mark Giannotto on the show today. To discuss his victory.
For a victory lap. Let's be honest here.
He has declined that opportunity. He says, we're moving tomorrow. It's a big packing day. So he's moving out.
Again, he's not even of Memphis media anymore. So even asking him feels like, you know, it's almost, you know, he's got a lot on his plate right now.
He does.
As he makes the transition to Chicago.
We took a shot. We took a shot at it because he's the one who, like, you know, a lot
but
of.
I imagine that when he saw this news.
A lot of controversy over Babe Ruth's ethnicity. But like a Babe Ruth. He pointed out, and he said, black AD. That's what Mark did. That was his last article in Memphis, I believe.
I don't know if it was his
other than his goodbye.
Yeah. Again, I think he wrote several others, but it was among the final ones.
Yeah. And he said, Memphis needs to hire a black athletic
and
director.
Drop the mic.
And that is exactly what they did.
Ed Scott. Historic, it is.
Yeah, so I should read from the... I should read from the announcement because there was an announcement.
Yeah, they've announced it now.
Officially.
Ross Dellinger had it first.
Yes. Bill Hargrave said the following. We are thrilled to welcome Dr. Scott and his family to Memphis. Our goal in this extensive search was to find a forward-thinking, transformative leader with the vision to help us achieve the full potential of Tiger Athletics. While there were many exceptional candidates, we found that leader in Dr. Scott. We are fortunate to have him join the Tiger family, and we look forward to continuing toward our promising future in athletics under his guidelines. And they literally copied and pasted Virginia's bio in terms of what he did, right?
Yeah, typical how that goes.
Yeah, I'm not blaming anybody, but that's like we already went over that. If you missed it, it was sports medicine, strength and conditioning, nutrition, sports psychology, men's basketball, baseball, swimming and diving, track and field, cross country and diversity, equity, inclusion, and assisted in football oversight as a special advisor to the head football coach. This is what Ed Scott had to say. The University of Memphis is a destination for me, and it has been on my radar for some time. With exceptional student-athletes, coaches, and staff that have the backing of a proud and motivated city, the opportunity is here to accomplish great things as we continue forward in a new era of intercollegiate athletics. I want to thank President Hargrave for giving me this opportunity. My family and I are excited to join Tiger Nation. So I mentioned it at the beginning of the show.
Former baseball player.
Yeah, I played baseball at Albany, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned at the beginning of the show that what I know impressed the committee, first and foremost, was his passion and excitement and you know, perceived dedication to the job. His all-inness, if you will. He had that. That was probably the best thing he could have put forward. That it was really something that, you know, he mentioned his destination, right? I've been watching Memphis from afar for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not like something I'm trying to leverage or someday, you know, try to give a raise out of Virginia. You know, no, I want to be the next AD at Memphis. So that's not to say that the other candidates were doing that. It's just that his excitement in particular, I think, stood out. And so, you know, that's a good thing. You want somebody that's excited, you know. We don't know, you know, obviously we won't know what he, because that's what you're interested in, right? What do you think of Memphis football? What do you think of Memphis basketball? Like, what do you, like, let's get down to the substance of it.
Mm-hmm.
We won't know that for a while. But I do, again, I'll go back to it. I like the idea of going and taking a swing outside of the athletic department.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of reasons like to hire. We talked about it in terms of the historic nature of it. Does it reflects the diversity of your school, if your athletic department does that, and probably was overdue, as you said, certainly was overdue. You are hopeful, and we said it when Giannotto wrote the column, though, that you are getting the best candidate, like you said, and not just a guy who's all in and maybe even says it's a destination job. And I would say that, you know, a lot of folks are going to say that. I mean, you're certainly, if you're him, you're hoping that, you know, I would imagine like you can do what Laird Veach did and eventually go from here to the SEC or whatever else it is. That's a not hoping that it's more than just all in, that you're getting a guy that's got a vision. And again, you know, and we can talk about it, whether or not it matters right now or not, because certainly the door is not open. But if there is a day where Memphis is looking to the ACC and trying to say, you know, hey, look what we're about. Well, here's a guy with all kinds of ACC ties, right, that can certainly convince the people that are there. And again, it won't be necessarily ADs. It'll be other presidents, the television executives and everything else in terms of your value, Memphis's value, that can help you. So just in terms of his background coming from the ACC and where you're trying to go, I mean, frankly, you know, that could pay off years from now in a way that, you know, maybe right now we can't see. Again, that's all, that's sort of talk and hopefulness and everything else, and Memphis's long, you know, this long story we've had of trying to be pulled up over the wall. Maybe he can help with that. Maybe he can't. It's not his responsibility. Although, you know, maybe he can, again, be instrumental in terms of being the guy that gets you over the hump.
Right.
Because of those ties, that familiarity with that area, with that conference. And so, you know, there's that. Again, I'd like to hear, much like you said, you know, what the plan is for football and for basketball, and particularly for football, where, albeit, you know, you point out that he was a special advisor to the football coach at Virginia. Well, you know, other than that, you know, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of football experience here. And so to hear how he plans to build on where Memphis currently is on that side, and then, yeah, you know, obviously what he expects from Memphis basketball, we kind of know the score there,
right,
where it's got to get back to. And so, yeah, curious to hear from him and see what Memphis has got. But I'm with you, that feels like a big swing. Right?
Yeah, because, he, you know, the only AD experience he has is at Morgan State,
mm-hmm,
right, which, you know, I'm not dismissing it, but it's just a different...
But Laird didn't have AD experience,
correct,
right?
Correct.
Kind of same thing. Was,
yeah,
he deputy AD at Florida? I think one of the associates. I think he was deputy.
Me, it's like, it's a big thing to be able to get it. Even a deputy AD from an SEC school or an ACC school, that still is a big deal to me, you know?
But Laird had football knowledge, was one,
yep,
and also television knowledge, right? Having come from that world as well as the, I mean, didn't he have a little bit of that in his background? And so in terms of what he brought to the table, I think even maybe we knew a little bit more about Laird than we do about Ed Scott, right, in terms of things he specializes in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the part that we're going to have to find out, you know? I mean...
But the all-in is good, because you're going to have to sell this program. You're going to have to, I mean, that's part of the... it always has been part of the job.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, like... There are things he did at, you know, at Morgan State that, like, are they, you know, can you duplicate them at this, you know, at this stage, at this level? We'll find out. But I'm just, it's like the Knicks going for Mikal Bridges, right? Yeah, they gave up a ton. They gave up their, you know, potentially they mortgaged their future. But if it works out, it's worth it. The Tigers are not going anywhere close to that in terms of, you know, they're not giving up anything. But they are taking a calculated risk, you know, in the name of, hey, this may be the next star athletic director. We believe he might be that. We believe that he could come to Memphis and he has a vision and he's excited.
I'll just put it this way. I thought Ryan Alpert is that as well.
Agreed.
And Ryan Alpert got his master's from here, if I'm not mistaken. I mean,
that's
a Tiger there.
That's
and
right.
So if you're picking Ed Scott over Ryan Alpert,
yep,
and he's reportedly one of the finalists, obviously, Ed Scott better bring a lot to the table, because it certainly felt like Ryan Alpert did.
Yep.
And Ryan Alpert was a guy that we said knows the landscape. You know, not just a guy who graduated from here and got his master's, but a guy who worked in the department and really understands the landscape. And frankly, now how he understands how different it is than what it was when he was here, what, under Bowen at that time, and what you've got right now. And so it seems like, and he feels like a star in the business. And so that's what I'm saying, is that, you know, you picked a guy that's, you know, you could say Ryan Alpert's a Tiger in that sense, that, again, he got his education from here, worked here, and you went outside of that. And so, yeah, you got to feel like, man, Ed Scott must really wow you, you know, to go over, you know, to pick him as the guy for the position. So, because Ryan Alpert looks like a star to me.
Yes.
And so
that's a good call out.
Hopefully Ed Scott is just as much of one or even more so, because Ryan was a candidate who looked, you know, frankly, one of your own and perfect for the gig in terms of what he had handled at Tennessee, where he is in his career.
Right, you know? Right.
I'll just say that that's just personal preference, you know, there, just in terms of how much we liked Ryan as a candidate.
Yeah, I'm glad
and knew
you said
a lot
that.
About him, what he specialized in, what he had done, the Neyland renovations. Yep. I mean, we just knew a lot more there.
Exactly.
And again, you have been entrenched in it.
Yes.
You understand Memphis and the landscape. You know, we know your vision because you've been in it and know what it needs.
I think that is, you know, that's
so let's hope that
that's a little regrettable that, you know, look, like you said, obviously they felt Ed brought a little bit more to the table.
Clearly they did.
But I do think, you know, that is a big thing you're sort of missing out on. You know, by not going with Alpert in that situation. I think that's so important to doing anything in Memphis is knowing it. And, you know, outsiders usually have a harder time.
Ed Scott can think, you know, hey, I think I got a pretty good idea of what I'm getting myself into.
Right.
Ryan knows.
He does.
Literally knows it.
Yep.
And was here for multiple years. So.
Yep.
So, yeah, my hope is Ed's going to knock it out of the park, you know, to pick him.
We do have some interesting news. Interesting. Well, I won't call it news. I'll call it intel, some speculation on the Memphis Grizzlies and what they're going to do tonight. We'll talk to Norton Hurd at 125. But from Matt Moore, you know Matt Moore, Hardwood Paroxysm.
Yeah, friend of the show.
He has written that league sources suggested this week that the Grizzlies have put up as many as 3 picks with protections to try and move into the top 5, including the number 9 pick. That could be, I think you got to go number 3. I think if you try to go to 5 for Klingon, you're making a mistake. That's how I feel. So I would try to get to 3.
Not based on those, well, you tell me, you read off the odds, right? Not based on where the odds are right now, right? On 1, 2, 3. I thought you read off 1, 2, 3. Maybe you even got down to 4.
Yeah, so the 4.
I know you believe he's going to go top.
The favorite. So this is the latest.
But
right?
Reed Shepherd was 3, wasn't he?
Reed Shepherd was 3. But the reason why I say you got to get to 3 is because the Spurs are picking there at 4. Right? And so that's where it's like, could they draft Stephon Castle at 4? Yes.
Well, I mean, Stephon seems to be the one that everybody loves.
But, I mean, I think Castle will be there at 8. I mean, I do. I think he, because we went over it, you know.
About who doesn't need guards.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess the Pistons could just draft him, you know.
Well, you're not putting the ball in his hands. It's
right.
In Cade's hands.
So, I mean, you know.
And we did that with Melo.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, again.
Remember that conversation.
You could do it, but it was like, it's like, I don't think that's like the best move. Like, Portland, they just drafted Scoot.
So, back to the point, you're Klingon's not going to not getting down past 4. Right.
Your
thing is go to 3.
Yeah, I'm just applying logic here, right? Again, could you know, Klingon fall? Yes, but I think Stephon Castle is more likely to fall just based on the teams that are picking, right? It's just the roster constructions of those teams already. So if I'm the Grizzlies, I Klingon is my target, which he has to be. I am not saying, all right, let's get to 5. We're good. That's not enough. You know, do you have a plan? I guess you could say, hey, we will get to 5, hope that Klingon falls to us at 5, but are prepared to draft Connect as a backup plan.
And what were they prepared to give up there? How many?
3 picks.
Ugh.
That's a lot.
Yeah, for something.
For Connect.
That's...
You would not do that for Connect.
No.
So
I don't like the plan B there, exactly, for having spent that.
So that's what I'm saying. You don't have to have a plan B if you get to 3, you know?
Yeah.
You know you're getting Donovan Klingon at 3. But you would have to have a backup plan at 5. So Grizzlies are going to be active. That's the lesson here. They're going to be active
today.
Told
you, it matches what Woj had in the report about Bridges.
So stay tuned.
Go time. It's
ladies
exciting.
And gentlemen. Norton Hurd, the 4, is going to join us on the other side. He'll be in studio. We'll talk to him about the NBA draft, the Grizzlies, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 FM, ESPN, the only place in Memphis for the Jeff Calkins Show. Weekdays from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Learned the news that Bill Walton had died. And what Harold Bird said was, listen, in that iconic photograph at the end of the game, Bill Walton has scored his 44 points. The game is essentially done. There's less than 3 minutes remaining in the game. Walton sprains his ankle. And in an iconic photo, you've seen it, it's Larry Finch helping Bill Walton off the court. Bill Walton literally is towering over Larry Finch, has his hand on Larry's shoulder, and Larry is boosting him along and carrying him to the bench, helping him get to the bench. When Harold said about it was the majesty of Larry Finch helping Bill Walton off the court. If Larry could show that kind of class in the wake of what had to be crushing disappointment, then we could do it too.
92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station. Unsportsmanlike mornings, the Jeff Calkins Show, Jason and John, Giannotto and Jeffrey, the Gabe Kuhn Show afternoons.
The Wing Guru, serving up 21 flavors of lip-smacking goodness. Whole wings, party wings, boneless wings, and more. Served just the way you like them and smothered in our award-winning sauces. Order online and pick up in the stores or stop in and stay a while. The Wing Guru.
I'm Bob Burke, founder and chairman of Burke America Parts Group, a family of brands that includes RepairClinic.com, an appliance and HVAC parts solution company that's grown into an international brand. Before AmericanEagle.com, we partially launched a new technology platform developed by another firm. American Eagle helped take our technology to a whole new level with digital marketing, software development, and business insights into our key markets, appliances, HVAC, and outdoor power equipment, and did so both on time and on budget. AmericanEagle.com has the resources, experience, and talent needed to produce solutions. Our new technology platform developed by AmericanEagle.com has produced tremendous results with higher traffic, conversion, engagement, and online revenue. If you have any home repairs you need to take care of, check us out at RepairClinic.com. If you need a world-class website or technology project, then I would highly recommend AmericanEagle.com.
Call AmericanEagle.com at 773-NETWORK. That's AmericanEagle.com, 773-NETWORK.
Hi, this is Eric Hasseltine telling you to hurry. Hurry to Genesis Diamonds right now. The clock is ticking on Genesis Diamonds' amazing finance offer. You have until Sunday to take advantage of the hottest offer ever. 5-year, zero-interest financing. You can get that stunning designer engagement ring starting as low as $67 a month, or a 3-carat lab-grown center diamond just $99 a month. It's the smartest, fastest, and best way to buy. But hurry, this incredible offer ends this weekend and will not be extended. Only at Genesis Diamonds at Poplar and Perkins Extended.
Get ready, because the Gossip Mitsubishi Motors Summer Sales Event is on, and now is the best time to buy. You want 43 MPG Highway? We Gossip in 2024 Mitsubishi Mirage. $18,960 or $279 a month. 2024 Mitsubishi Outlander Sport. We Gossip $27,350 or $399 per month. And your summer adventure starts with 2024 Mitsubishi Outlander SE. We Gossip, $29,865 or $449 a month. Plus, every Gossip Mitsubishi comes with Mitsubishi's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. That's Gossip Mitsubishi, 1870 Covington Pike, online 24/7 at MemphisMitsubishi.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossip Motor Cars.
Mirage RHFO 9083, MSRP 19460, Sport RU 01-10764, MSRP 28070, Outlander RZO 53896, MSRP 30895, PF 695, acquisition fee 595, 15 cents excess mileage, excludes tax, title, and license. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid to end of the month with approved credit dealer stock only.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Norton Hurd the fourth is the team staff program director and coach. He's got me a little off because he's got us laughing coming into here. He's one of college basketball's 100 most influential Black Coaches Association. You see, I don't have this in front of me today, but we've really got it imprinted now in my head. Black Coach Association, all circuit selection, all second team selection for what he did on the EYBL circuit last year. This year, they have the second best record and are headed back to the Peach Jam next month. Hurd is our basketball expert. We look to him on Wednesdays and appreciate his time. How excited are you right now for your former guy, real quick, before we get to draft and what the Grizzlies are going to do, everything else? One of your former guys, OG Anunoby, a guy we've told you a long time before he ended up with the Knicks that we wanted for the Grizzlies. We've been asking about OG Anunoby for years. Is he going to be going back to the Knicks?
That's the plan. I got to give him a call today. You know, I was just telling you, I've been at the daddy duties at cheer camp all morning. But that's definitely the plan. And he's getting to the point where right now his value level is demanding somewhat of a max deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a few teams out there. And,
yeah, Wendy talking about him this morning, saying the Knicks must retain him if this is going to work.
I think so. Like I was just telling you off air, I also think getting Mikal Bridges, though, have gave the Knicks a tad of leverage, too. Now, you don't want to be crazy. I'm with Wendy. Like, let's not be crazy here. Like, you know, you get a better job and start, you know, think you're finna come in the house talking crazy. Or like, hold on now. You know, you want to still be smart about this thing and keep him to make it all work. But I just think getting Bridges have gave them so much security. And I think they feel like they have a little more leverage in the negotiation because just 24 hours ago, it was all OG had all the leverage in the negotiation. And I still think he, you know, got an upper hand. I think Bridges helped.
If you have both of them in the fold along with everything else they got and then a healthy Julius Randle back in, are you right there with the Celtics? You're still below them? But if you've got technically those two, you're right, theoretically those two wings, OG, Bridges, out there to guard Tatum and Jaylen Brown, how close have you gotten to the champs?
You're better than the Celtics.
Better?
You're better than the Celtics.
Better?
Yes.
Well, that's a sentence.
Look at you, hot take Wednesday coming.
You're
up
really
in here.
That's a hot take, Herb.
You did surprise.
But the reason I said that is because I love the Celtics. I love what they put together. But even when they went against the Pacers or the Knicks or whoever this year, when people was healthy, they wasn't always great or whatever. They dominated Dallas, but I'm gonna be real. That was the luck of the draw on that too. Dallas was one of the. They had a great run in the West, but Dallas was one of the weaker teams in the West. They were the eighth seed.
Five.
They beat the Thunder. Who did they beat? The Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
I keep thinking they was the eight because the Thunder. So that was the second round they beat the Thunder. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. So the Thunder won their first. Okay, yeah.
Your point is the same. They were a lower seed.
They were a lower seed. I actually think if Denver or Minnesota went in with some more athletic guys, I think the reason the Knicks are better is because it is a point guard lead. And if you see how Brunson was playing, and he in the playoffs, he almost averaged 40 points a game.
It was remarkable.
So if you add Mikal Bridges with OG, now you're bringing one of the best statistics guy off the bench, now Hart, that did everything for them, played starter minutes. What's the light-skinned guy that came from Villanova that had a great year?
DiVincenzo.
Now you're bringing these guys off the bench, and you have a healthy Randle and Mitchell. Yes, I think they're right. I mean, I think it's a 7-game series and they can win.
Now, when you call DiVincenzo light skinned, is he a brother?
Yeah, I think when I said my eyes, and I have some neutral, non racist eyes, he looks like a light skinned African American.
Okay, now John, can you weigh in on this?
I have.
But with his last name, he could be.
I have bad news for you. I have bad news for you. He is white. He's a white guy.
Oh, he's a white. Okay, that's good.
I knew John took a great deal of pride in that.
Yeah,
so I figured we'd stop here because John claims him. He's one of the white players.
His mother's name is Kathy. and his father's name is John.
I could see where you could look at him and think maybe he's a little mixed, much like myself.
Yeah.
You know, in a different, you know, much like myself.
Yeah.
But this is apparently a full white.
I mean, I think he, you know, like there was like a trend on TikTok, you know, where you had like a white guy that has a black wife, right? How different they look before their black wife came into their life versus after. You know, I think Dante DiVincenzo kind of has the black wife thing going on for sure. You
first
know, him. He may have a sister, with the style and everything. But
dude does have some swagger.
Swagger.
No, but again, I just want to, because quite frankly, I feel like on this show, I've conceded enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've already had to give you Mahomes. I've already had to give you.
Mahomes is black.
He's
again,
mixed.
It's not about you giving anything.
This is
in the gene.
This is
how they were born.
You know, this is a battle. This is a, you know, 50-50 coin flip, you know what I'm saying? But no, they can't be that. It's got to be y'all have Mahomes, fine. Y'all cannot take DiVincenzo from me.
What is his first name? Because I want to make sure.
Dante.
So let me say Dante first. If we were at the domino table, I don't want to mess up the last name, and you were trying to trade Dante for Pat. I'm through the conversation. We'll let you have that take.
We
got Pat Mahomes. And if you're trying to say because we got Pat,
right,
you got to have Dante for sure. So you can have Dante.
No, Dante just is white. I mean, that's the thing. This is not a controversy.
No, it is not at all.
You made it one. You made it one when you suggested, first of all, you say he was black. I mean, you just said all straight away. Like, he's a light skin.
No, I said the light skin. I didn't know
he said light skin brother. He did.
I thought he said
light skin. I brought him.
This guy revamped into another conversation.
I was making sure we had some clarity.
I don't have a lot of white American basketball players, so I'm very protective. I'm very protective of that. You know, I'm saying Terry. We got Hero.
And dude has taken off.
We'll have Shepard and Klingon. Klingon
really good. I played against both of them, and you would have Cooper Flags very soon. This is really good.
We're coming back. It's a blessing.
doesn't make any sense. In terms of tonight, when we talked about Grizzlies, the big need is center. But if they come out of this thing with a Cody Williams or a Devin Carter, are you going to be disappointed in the way that we are? Where our thing has helped now, and maybe Devin Carter is a guy, Anthony's son, first of all. I think Anthony Carter, we believe, still on the coaching staff. So there's some knowledge there, and he's more, you know, I guess behind Ja, he can help you there. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm trying to get to is we want to see them use the pick either on a center, Klingon, whatever it is, or trading it to go get one. Adding a Cody Williams, a guy who's 19 years old, another wing that's going to take time, when you found Vince and Gigi and you got Marcus Smart right now, does that make a lot of sense to you right now for a team that's trying to be a contender in these next 2 years you got control of Jaren Jackson?
No, not if you look at it like that, but some teams still like to go with best available, and some coaches believe in, no matter the position, they want the best players on their roster and the best players on the floor. I'm with you. I think Donovan Kleening made great sense for the Grizzlies. I think the Grizzlies is one of those situations, though, that no matter who come, unless it's a big, you don't know how it's going to work out. Because even though we got a high pick due to job, and even though we even let players go, the Grizzlies, and I said this a couple years ago about them making the championship, the Grizzlies is one of the deepest teams in basketball. Think about this. We tried to let people go last year and sink or whatever, and you got guys like Gigi and all of them like, I'm here. You got guys like Pippen that played great at the end of the year. You got other style of players. The Grizzlies are deep. And then when you add Ja Morant, the thing people got to understand, too, is when you add somebody with a talent like that and the amount of playing time he's going to get, that's like bringing two people back into the fold. And then other guys are actually going to play better now. Like, watch how great Marcus Smart played with a Ja Morant. We still hadn't seen it.
Yeah, we didn't get to see it last year. Yeah.
So, to me, I don't think the Grizzlies pick is bust or not right now because their team is so young. And I think no matter who it is, unless it's maybe Clint, I don't think the person's going to get crazy playing time.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the part of it. Like, and that's why
that's why I'm down with trading the pick.
Oh.
If it can go get me a Jared Allen or something. Again, we don't even know the Jared's available, but that's my thing. If it can go get me something right now that helps me right now.
A Jalen Duren.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Do we think, and I don't want to start no controversy, the West keeps getting better and better.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see writers say that the Grizzlies have to come get their spot back. Like, it's not just going to be easy. I don't know.
No, they lost their spot.
The NBA didn't wait on you.
Yeah.
Like, it kept going.
Yeah, I've been reading some
Minnesota,
of that.
OKC. Them folks took steps forward.
Yeah. Yep. How do y'all feel like the Grizzlies is going to be? Do y'all think we're going to, because we were hot for the last few years. Do you think they just going to dive back into the top five, borderline playoffs? What are y'all seeing? Because, I mean, Ja Morant is just so explosive. Anytime he's on the court, you have a chance. But the West have gotten a lot better.
Bro, if you don't add that center, I don't think you can pencil yourself into the top four or top five in the West. That's the issue. And we saw it last year when they played Jaren Jackson at the center for a long, big portion of that season because Steven Adams was out. Did they drop to the bottom of the league in rebounding? You know, things fell off. And this has been a team, you already know, that had dominated the boards, been one of the best offensive rebounds teams. You need a screen setter in there for Ja Morant, so it kind of it falls apart if you don't have that center. And so and here's the thing, Herd, and we've discussed it a bunch. I know you've heard us. You know the deal. Jaren Jackson's on contract for sure for the next 2 years.
Okay.
That's how long. So the way we're looking at it and the way, you know, Kleiman and everybody else has outlined this is that you have to contend right now in this, yes, very improved West to go. You got to get it now. And that's why think you saw a guy, you saw in Woj's report last night about the Mikal Bridges trade. The Grizzlies went after him again this week. And I just think that's indicative of they feel like we got to go in now. We got to make an aggressive move now to win now while you've got for sure Jaren Jackson over these next 2 years.
Yeah, that would have been really good getting my Bridges.
I mean, it sounded like the Grizzlies. I mean, they were willing to offer four for him. What was it last year? And so it sounds like they had a package. Maybe it obviously didn't top what the Knicks were offering, but exactly. they were ready to be aggressive. And so I'm hopeful that's indicative of, again, let's not plan to go get a project guy 3-4 years. Let's get something right now because we have to win now in these next 2 years that you know you got Jaren.
Not to go back, though, but so if we need a center that bad, because y'all know I'd be around everything, not just – why did they trade Steven Adams then?
Yeah, first off, he came back on his hill.
Oh, okay. But right now we don't have anybody that can play the position, right? He's one of the more tougher guys that can rebound.
Well, they'll get one. They'll get somebody. I mean, whether it's trading up or do like a Drummond or a cheap, you know what I'm saying? You don't really need a Hall of Famer at that spot with the Grizzlies, right? Like, you just need somebody that will rebound and, like, go about their business.
Set screens, roll to the rim.
Yeah, I mean, whatever the Grizzlies are just going to be determined by Ja, Desmond, and
Jaren.
I mean, the rest of it's like, yeah, GG could come in and be a nice spark, Vince Williams, et cetera, but whatever they are is just going to be determined by those three. And that's the way it is for every team in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Thunder are a good example. Like, I mean, it ain't about damn Isaiah Joe coming in hitting, three threes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about, SGA, and they actually ended up trading Giddey. So they found a flaw. They're like, we can't play Giddey in the playoffs. We have to get off of that. You know, so it's just discovery there. But, yeah, I mean, it's just about, riding with getting those guys on the floor and then riding with whatever it is.
Let me ask you something, because you saw a lot of them too. With some we were discussing earlier, James Wiseman today, likely going to be the news is he's going to be cut by Detroit, making him an unrestricted free agent. We all saw him, it wasn't just us here locally, that said, my gosh, that's a can't miss NBA guy. Gavonis and all that too, you know, the history goes number two. Was that more of a situation where your environment kind of dictated your trajectory? Went to a Golden State team that couldn't wait on him. You know, injury was part of it, but couldn't wait on him to develop and everything else. John was making a point. Sometimes your environment can dictate what you end up being. Or was it something that we all missed on James Wiseman that we weren't talking about in terms of whether he was dedicated to the game or the love for it? Obviously, that's got to matter too. Like, which way would you lean just in terms of, and this is not to say James is done forever, but it ain't looking good right now for a guy we once thought, at least we did, was a can't miss. Like, what was off there? What did we miss? Or was it just a deal where he got drafted to the wrong place? You add that to injury, you know, this can happen to even the most talented of guys.
So my opinion outside of injury, I think the environment, to me, he went to, and I think I said this before, we were speaking on it in a different subject last year. I think he went to the worst two places he could have went to. He went to one place where we can't wait on young people. Like, I got a kid, Jalen Hushfino, at the Lakers. He's really good, but the Lakers are not playing nobody young.
Right.
Like, he's really good. Like, he can help them now, but they're looking for point, so they want veterans. So he went over there, James, with his personality, which, not saying I'm around him every day, but, you know, Draymond and them aggressive. They're not willing to wait. They didn't want Steve Kerr. Could be a little intimidating for a young guy, you know, Steph Curry and them. Then you leave there. And then I just, no knock to the Pistons, I just don't think their environment great for anybody, young or old. You feel what
that's
I mean?
Just a fact.
So
yes.
I feel James still have a lot left if he goes to the right type of team. You know, just throwing it out there. I'm not thinking about Ross. I'm just saying, like, you know, Pacers, somebody that's just like, you know, they got a blend of both. The cameras ain't as crazy on you, and you have time to develop. I still think James has a role in this lead. Far as, you know, people saying bust or things like that, it's very tricky. And you know this, and me and you play all the time, Jason, even with these young kids. He deserved what he got at the time, but it's just really hard to project anybody being a great NBA player because you look at it like OG was in the class a couple years before him. He wasn't ranked in the top 500. And we were in the same, years later, we were in the same draft as Jason Tatum and them, and now he's going for a max deal. And that's the kind of what, and I love OG's story because I try to explain to parents, most people never beat OG or James. But you got a better chance of even being OG. Like, you're not going to get in all the Mickey D's and be this and be that and be that. And, you know, the parents don't want to wait these days. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't say, I mean, of course we thought Wiseman was going to be great, but he did great things. And he's 7 foot and can do a lot of great things. But it's just hard to project sometimes how great a player going to be in college and how great a player going to be in the NBA, because there's a lot of circumstances and people adjust to it in different ways.
Yeah, I think we were talking about that exactly, you know, and Thad as an example, right? Like, Thad has found ways to stay relevant in the league, to stay on teams, maybe not even necessarily dependent on his ultra contributions on the floor, but he's found ways to impact teams in other ways. You know what I'm saying? Sure. And I think, like, he, you know, he's a guy that James should probably talk to. Like, because, again, James is going through it, right? He's going to talk to a lot of people. But how do you stay relevant with the NBA? You know, and that was awesome for a long, long time.
Yeah, right?
I was going to say, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it wasn't
just last year.
Yeah.
He's been playing for 15, 16. But I get what you're going.
But, again, the longevity, though.
Yep.
Like, what's the key to that? Because Thad's figured that out, you know, and a lot of young guys probably don't have those habits.
No, exactly. And the NBA is rough, and they don't wait long. It's a new draft out tonight. It's a new draft. It'll be out tomorrow. So they don't wait long on you, and you have to come. And it's tough. It's tough because you know how this thing go. And you might not believe this. A lot of those guys also lose confidence. You got to keep the main thing the main thing. Like, because, you know, everybody in the world telling you this.
Yep.
Everybody is. You know, Thad is a guy that he never listened to that anyway. So he didn't, you know what I'm saying? He's not, his life wasn't based on me getting love and this and that. He just went in there. He handled his business. He stayed a true professional, and he got it done. But the NBA is just so – and the NBA is based off of what team you go to, because it's people that go to teams all the time. You be like, that kid good, but he'll never play there. They got 2-3 really good wings. Mm-hmm. You know, then another guy get an opportunity with a team that's like –
that's true.
You know, so – but I think James will find a home. Is he the guy that, you know, make hundreds of millions and be – you know, multiple all-star and all that, that's not looking likely. I don't want to count him out, but I think he should, you know, still be fair.
How much of G.G. Jackson did you see on the circuit?
I seen enough. He's good. I didn't think he would be this good, if that's your next question, but he's good. I think he's going to help out a lot this year.
Like, what is he ultimately? Like, what he is 19. Mm-hmm. And some of what he did last year, you can't believe that he did at that age. Like, he's putting up some Kobe stuff in terms of the numbers he was doing off the bench and everything else, but at one point regarded as one of the best players in the country, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see – but you said you didn't see this for him. Did you think, okay, the decision-making, the off-the-court's going to end up – like, I'm just curious in terms of when you saw him, you weren't thinking best player in the country, obviously, at
that
time.
Well, I was thinking – I mean, he was rated – I mean, the class wasn't strong. He was rated the number one player, top three on every site. So I was thinking that, but the problem happened when he reclassed up, which they don't help a lot of people – some guys do better in the NBA. I thought he was good, not great at South Carolina. That's why he dropped so far. And if the Grizzlies would have been full healthy, I don't know if he would even play much last year. And I think he took advantage of his opportunity. And I think G.G. Jackson about to be great, y'all.
At the wing or as a four in the league?
Wherever.
Or both?
Wherever. Just, man, the more positions you can, 3, 4, they all the same. Just do your job. Rebound and make them shots. And I think he can do it.
I hope he gets to play enough this year.
Why wouldn't he?
Well, you figure he will, but if Smart and Vince Williams are ahead of him, right, in terms of on the wing, Vince Williams, bro, brought it last year, and he's going to get a crack. Yeah, the VCU kid, Vince Williams, who shined, man. Now, I'm not saying GG's not going to get any run. I'm just wondering. He got a ton last year because of the situation. You wonder if it'll be a little bit of a step back and how, you know, he'll sort of, you know, handle that.
Do Vince Williams shoot the ball well?
Shot the ball well last year from three.
He did.
Yeah. Now, it was one of the question marks on him, and he's got to be consistent with it. GG's going to have to do it again, too. I mean, both of them are going to have to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's last year, the stakes were not high at point during the season. And so all of their – I mean, to some degree, you got to throw out the percentages just because it wasn't really meaningful basketball when those guys were playing. You know what I'm saying? In terms of, you know, seeding what you're going to be. You know, everything else. It was kind of the perfect storm, though, because, again, if they're the point that you made, if they're not as banged up and is not injured and that season hasn't gone awry like it did, you don't see GG and them out there and getting the opportunity that they did. and maybe don't know, you still don't know what you have.
And Pippen was good late too.
Yeah, he's on a two-way, which I imagine they're going to keep him on.
Yeah, he was good. Didn't he start the last few games?
Well, yeah.
He put up thinking they were in a position where, like he almost had to because Rose was out.
They
at that
actually
point,
were. They were. Rose, they would have started Jasper.
Right. Yeah, Rose on a it was a 2-year deal. He's back.
If Jasper was available, like if he wanted to, he would have gotten some run for sure. You know what I mean? In April, yeah. You know.
But I mean, Pip was good, and you're definitely keeping him on a two-way.
Yeah,
Pip was good. I heard some people, and I don't want to start them, but Pip was playing so good. It was some. This not me, y'all.
Just
y'all
calm
on
down.
Twitter.
Yeah, what
it was some people saying that either they wouldn't take Smart and Rose back. They would only take one back and let him play. No, it was multiple people. I'm not just making this up because his stats were better.
Yeah. I don't want Smart in that backup point guard role anymore. Want him in the position you brought him here to play, which is on that wing.
Like, this is kind of becoming like his thing now. Like, he likes to come in here and he likes to try to like package D Rose and get him out of here.
Ooh.
Jason.
Perfectly fine with him being on the roster as an old man.
Son came through the gym. I like him a lot. I just wanted to clear it. I know who you was talking about.
Yeah, like,
I don't have nothing.
Like, D-Rose has, like, he has, like, you know, the clout. Like, he just gets a spot, like an honorary spot at absolute minimum. And I think he is the backup point guard. I mean, I'll encourage you.
Just a name.
Not a name. I would encourage you to go back and look at one of the first games of the season against the, at that time, reigning champion, Denver Nuggets. And Derrick Rose was awesome in that game. He pickpocketed Jokic, man, got down the floor. He was hitting threes. You know, yeah, he missed the rest of the season after that. But that's not important.
Yeah,
it's about the moments and the memories, isn't it? It's about the moments and the memories that you create.
Is his son Cole?
He young.
Who's his name? PJ?
Too young, right? Like, fifth grade.
They just came by, hollered that, and looked at the gym some a couple weeks ago. So I haven't seen him play, but yeah, I think he's pretty good to be in fifth, sixth grade.
Things, any updates on the gym? Like everything over there?
Yeah,
it's all coming together.
Yeah, expanding, looking good. We go, you know, have it open soon. Then after PJ, we go make an official, you know, grand opening and be, you know, pretty much the hottest thing in the city.
Yeah.
Is going on.
I can't wait to get a little CJ up in there.
Got to.
Yeah, I mean, it's invested in and backed by, you know, NBA players, used by NBA players.
Yeah, yeah. I actually we have some NBA courts in there, too.
Dig that.
So, you know, they could try. I think that's one of the gyms in the city that have it. So, it got some pretty cool things.
The Warriors have it in their facility. Like, they have the Shoot 360 technology.
So now you're talking about that. Yes, they do. There are a couple NBA teams, they do. There is a little different, though. Like, most cities, you have Shoot 360 where the kids and stuff can, we can sign up and get a membership. The Warriors started it off, you know, they into tech they started off where, like, it was for their season ticket holders and stuff can use it.
Gotcha.
Oh,
that's
wow.
How I started off at it, because it's at their practice.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But I think they said they just opened it up to, like, the regular way, but it started off
I thought, I thought we might get a little early invite with the hard hats. You know how you invite important people
to see it
before it's completed? We're still waiting on the invitation.
Let's do it.
Let us know if we can come and see
let's
it.
Let's do it ASAP. I think we need to get with Brad, though, one day. I think we need and they should show from over there. On the ground, I think all that sound good.
Oh, yeah. You're talking our language now.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, John loves going on location.
I do. Well, you know, with good partners, I'm always happy to go on location. There's no doubt about that. All right. I might go hoop. I can't guarantee that I'm going to finish the show. Y'all got real courts over there where it's not half court now. I mean, it's going to be real 5-on-5 going.
Yeah, but I think you might be better on the mic though that day. It'll be some real hoopers in there.
Yeah, I know. I'm there.
You should have seen him when he tried to play Jay Williams out there at Shoot 360.
You know what's crazy is that Jay
played him.
It was horse. It was horse. It was the.
But you were playing a competitive game against Jay Williams and John's.
Which Jay Williams?
Jason Williams.
Yeah.
I really should have beaten him in horse.
So I don't know what the word is, like on his level, kind of.
Yeah, But he cannot really shoot the ball at all. Like, I had a horrible shooting day. I could have absolutely beat him if I had a better day. Like, his jump shot is...
I don't think he had a great day either, clearly. Well, I mean, that dude can shoot.
I know, but he's the number one overall pick, or number two pick, or whatever.
And you know what's cool, though? Everybody in Memphis, right, no matter your color, nationality, you go to any barbershop, you go anywhere, it could be a doctor, it could be a firefighter, they'll pick up a ball. We're going to have, shoot 360, we're going to have adult shooting competitions. And I think it's going to go wild on certain days because
awesome.
So many people are into that.
No doubt. We'll get Pam out there. Pam going to get out there.
Pam look like she can do some things.
Yeah, man. You got to watch out for Pam. She's sneaky, dog. You watch
well, I just saw an opening for myself. You're talking about an adult shooting competition that I can get.
Like, you mean like elderly people?
Like smokers and everything?
No, like our age.
Like smokers league?
Well, 18 up and up. That's what I mean.
That's a big range, though, bro. I don't want to be out there with 18-year-olds. You know
I'm going to say between, like, all right, 20, 25 and 55.
Man, it's a bunch of them dudes in Memphis that still got the jumper.
Or think they do.
Right.
Because I'm going to be real with you. I know our business model, but I love it. I think it'd be fun and competitive. I'm not big on, and I can get in trouble, like the program, they do a great job. I used to do that. I'm not big on doing that at our gym because we deal with so much youth. But just a pure shooting, having fun, who the winner gets this, get that, and it's all okay. I'm good. Adult shooting league is going to be off the chain.
I'm excited. That'll be fun. That'll be a good time.
You might need to have me go against him in that one.
Let's start it off. Jason against John. Let's start it off.
I'll whoop him, man.
You better get back in that backyard.
This man think he on Jay Williams. Hey, Jay Williams.
You better get out there in that backyard. I mean, what you going to play in? You're going to have to dust some KDs
off.
All
the listeners, everybody who think they can beat Penny Hardaway, they know more than him. Come out there, and this is the bet I have for everybody. If you don't shoot over a certain percentage, you cannot critique Penny. I'm going to have that.
You
I'ma
sound
have
just
day.
Like Penny.
I'm going to have that day right there going.
That's crazy.
John going to be trying to hit a shot so bad, dude. John going to be trying.
Oh, yeah,
I can't say nothing for a week.
I'm about to go in the lab like crazy. What's the number?
I mean, to talk some mess, you got to at least be able to shoot. I'm going to start it light at first, over 20%.
Oh, my God.
Like, we're going to start it light.
That's insulting.
Then it goes up. Well, you're going to have people from all over.
I thought you were going to say like 46%.
If you're shooting over 40% for three, you're pretty good. You need
he
to go
swears
try
he's
out
JJ
somewhere,
Redick,
too.
McConnell or
I can absolutely shoot over 40. Absolutely shoot over 40. We're talking about open jumpers, right?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
If somebody was on you, you probably wouldn't get nothing off. So, yes.
Yeah. No, I agree. It would be harder. It would be harder if it was like a competitive, you know, game. But if open jumpers, 40% is nothing. I think it should be higher. I think it should be 50 to 60%. Honestly.
No. That's where we go get to. I'm going to start it off light.
Okay.
Because once it gets to 60, then nobody in Memphis will be able to.
That's right.
Nobody. We'll just be moots then.
Maybe not even Clay Thompson at this point could do that. Anyway, he is Norton Hurd, the four, joins us every Wednesday here on the show. Team Thad, program director and coach. We'll come back, wrap it up. Jason and John, Turner Fam, ESPN.
92.9 FM ESPN's Gabe Kuhn Show. Well, the only lineman on the radio, Gabe Kuhn. Weekdays from 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Well, I was hoping you'd come over and, you know, maybe put on some old gym shorts, you know, and throw on the jersey. And at least, you know, I think it'd be a hell of a show. You're just getting you live, huffing and puffing, seeing if you can do some of those super guests.
Even when I was in shape, Coach, you'll remember I couldn't do it. That first day of super gassers, when we had to run four super gassers, I'd get through one and then have to do my makeups after.
So I'm confused. You said when you were in shape, so when was that again?
Okay. To be fair. Okay, that's fair. Understood.
This is coming from a middle-aged fat guy sitting at his desk, so don't worry.
Hey, but you'd be out there running with us. You'd be out there running with us a couple of times.
Those are the good old days. I don't know if I could do it anymore. Yeah,
get in the game and turn up 92.9, 680 AM. Smart speakers say play 92.9 ESPN or download the free Odyssey app.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic alternatives to the name brands, add up to 95% off. ED is personal, and at Hims, so is treating it. Just go to hims.com/joy and get connected to a licensed medical provider online for free. With zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations, To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
Need inspiration? Shop Kroger for over 30,000 mouthwatering choices with savings beyond low prices, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump. More savings and more inspiring flavors make Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or Canada Dry. Select varieties or buy two, get two free with your card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
At Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, it's time to define luxury in a new way. At every turn, you'll find audacious design, state-of-the-art technology, and exceptional hospitality. We are dedicated to crafting the world's best vehicles, matched by an extraordinary sales-to-service experience for our owners. Prepare to be noticed in the 2023 Genesis G70. This sporty sedan is a force to be seen. We'd love you to explore the 2023 Genesis GV70 with a class-leading 300-horsepower engine or the available 375-horsepower twin-turbo V6 for terrains from concrete jungles to mountain roads. It's a new beginning for a new generation. Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, 1870 Covington Pike, or visit us online at memphisgenesis.com. Estimated horsepower based on premium fuel ratings. Use of regular fuel will result in reduced horsepower. See dealer for complete details. Dealer stock only.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Anything I got is not a rental. I own it, mom. Figured out this is simple. My stock been going up like a crescendo. A bunch of handshakes from the fakes. But I do not wanna be friends though. I tell y'all, mom, man, this is not a love song. This a stripper on a mink rug song. This a
Boom City Fireworks. Get over there for all your fireworks needs. For this 4th of July, 3rd Street South, or get well at State Line Road for the Mid-South largest fireworks selection. They're open daily, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Air conditioned. That's the best part. Largest selection of fireworks in stock. They got sparklers, Roman candles, firecrackers, poppers, artillery shells, whatever you need. Visit them on Facebook. Boom City Fireworks, get all the information, daily specials. It's Boom City Fireworks. Get over there today. Don't forget, NBA draft tonight on 92.9 FM ESPN. Starts at 6, I believe, or 7, one of the two. Figure it out. And we'll see what the Grizzlies do. Apparently, according to HP Basketball, Matt Moore trying to get into the top 5. As I said, I think you have to get to 3 with the Rockets to get Donovan Klingon, for sure. I don't think if you get to 5 that is going to be enough. I think that's going to be a little hairy, a little spooky. So that's just something to keep in mind as we get ready for the draft tonight. Hey, there's going to be somebody that needs to get a house in Memphis after tonight. Is that not true, Jason?
Yep, and only one place to call.
That's the Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency. Call them. They're the best in town. They're going to help you get the most money for your home. Great to work with. They get results, and that's the best part about it. Reach out. SoldToLiveLoveMemphis.com. That's going to do it for us today.
901-625-5200.
Yes, that's the number. That's going to do it for us today. Jeffrey and company up next. Thanks to Tanor Nerd, the 4th, as always. And thanks to Trista Crick for joining us on the show. Jeffrey and company up next. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Memphis is number one place for sports. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Sports Station. Wednesday night is draft night on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Who will be the first overall pick? What will the Memphis Grizzlies do with their pick?
The Memphis Grizzlies select.
Then listen Thursday afternoon to the Gabe Kuhn Show and throughout the day for the second round of the NBA draft. Listen to 92.9 FM, ESPN. For for all the excitement of the NBA draft live on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Memphis' flagship radio home of the Grizzlies. Catch all the Tiger touchdowns, Grizzlies dunks, and more hoops. We're the engine behind Elon Musk's next big idea. 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports supercomputer.
And the question is, 1 year from today, who is more likely to be coaching a Memphis basketball team? Just Taylor Jenkins, no Penny Hardaway. Just Penny Hardaway, no Taylor Jenkins. Both of them still coaching the Memphis basketball teams, or neither of them still coaching the Memphis basketball team. Think about it if you were Las Vegas.
Okay.
Okay? If you were Las Vegas, how would you think about these odds? I think, let's be honest, I think the lowest one is neither.
Get in the game and turn up 92.9, 680 AM. Smart speakers say play 92.9 ESPN. Or download the free Odyssey app and follow 92.9 FM ESPN. Redefining the sports broadcasting.